The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland in the house. And as NBA season approaches, he gets more excited and more excited. How you doing, man?
Oh, ready, man. Ready. Watched a lot of preseason last night.
That's what you're doing? Baseball playoffs. You're watching the NBA preseason.
I had baseball playoffs on one screen and NBA preseason on the other. I didn't watch a second of college football. There was a Fun Belt game last night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, okay. I'm pumped, man. Hey, ready. Man.
So we got JVT on the show to talk NBA season win totals or whatever NBA bets he's got going on. You're doing your alternate season win totals tomorrow.
Yep, we'll do some of that tomorrow, yep.
All right, Crack on the show today in studio, hour number two. Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted. We look forward to that as well. Adam Kramer on college football. John Legesa with his Major League Baseball playoff picks. By the way, before we get started today, shout out to Mitch Moss, who's a host on this network as well. Issues with his dog. Let's leave it at that this morning. I may be understating it, but we want to send our best to Mitch and his wife. We don't want to speculate on anything, but we send our best and hope that everything is okay. Don't know that it is, but we just want to send a show-to-show shout out to Mitch. We will start with what happened yesterday. First of all, Major League Baseball, a big long rain delay in Atlanta. But they finally got it going between the Braves and the Phillies game number two, and the Braves even it up. Even up the best of five series, and boy, did those of us who have Braves futures bets need that to happen. It's one thing that we went all ballistic and made a fortune on the NL East, but we put a little bit of that back into the World Series futures. And when that game was 3-0 last night, Kelly, William Hill still had it up, and so did MGM. And so I went up and I made a BetMGM bet that Braves up 3-0 in that game yesterday were up to 8-1 to win the World Series. That's the best number I've gotten so far. So I made another bet on them. I didn't think I'd make more bets, but I did.
So
8-1
during the regular season. It's one of those. I'm like, okay, you can leave futures up during the games, right?
I agree.
At this point, right? Like,
I agree with you. That's why I did it. I was like, you guys still have this up right now? They're up 3. So anyway, by the way, the 3 runs. Wasn't exactly the Bronx Bombers, you know, if you were using the great Yankee home run hitters of 1927. It was an inning that Zach Wheeler was just absolutely efficient, was tremendous for the Phillies. And then with one out in the bottom of the sixth, you had a hit-by-pitch on Acuna Jr. He's holding his arm the rest of that frame. A walk issue to Dansby Swanson, then a single from Matt Olson, which goes down as a single in the books, but that Rhys Hoskins could not handle it first base. And that was right there the difference between perhaps victory and defeat. Couldn't handle it. That scored the Braves' first run. Then Austin Riley with an infield nubber, as Vin Scully used to call it, right down the third baseline, never left the infield, 2-0. And then Travis d'Arnaud with a seeing eye ground ball single. That made it 3-0, and that held up the rest of the way. So the Braves got it done in that fashion.
So
and I made a bet right after that.
I had the Dodgers-Padres game on, and they took, like, the full-screen recap of that game. And I was like, wait, are these really, like, the standout players of the game where they were, like, 1-for-4 with an RBI? Yeah. Like, what? 1-for-3 RBI.
Braves also made two great defensive plays in the field. That's their hallmark as well. Dansby Swanson made a over-the-shoulder catch in the short outfield there, and then what a play by Austin Riley by the rolled up tarp in foul ground. It was amazing. So the Braves got it done 1-1, and so that series now goes back to Philly starting tomorrow. Now remember, this is already a scrunched up, if I can use that term, a schedule for the division series and then again for the championship round coming up. So there was that concern yesterday, hey, are they going to play this game? Then everything happened. Well, this could happen now tonight with this Cleveland Yankee series. I bet the Guardians today at +120. I don't think, Kelly, that this game is going to happen. The second of two scheduled for today, there is rain. The chance of rain in New York is like 90% all day, all evening long. So if that game gets scuttled today, you're going to have 4 consecutive baseball games, games 2, 3, 4, if necessary, 4 and 5, with 2 days of travel.
So silly.
What is Rob Manfred's rate of success on decision making?
It's low, man. It's low. Like, that is
just incredible.
So, yeah, you might be traveling 2 days there, but you're going to play every day still.
It's almost impressive. It's like the whole the Anchorman, like, you ate the whole wheel of cheese, Baxter.
I'm not upset. I'm not even impressed.
I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
Oh, I know they can't do this because you got to work out deals with the TV networks and stuff. But it's like it would be beneficial to them if they just knew they had like one open day and to put it wherever it most benefited the series within, you know, because of travel or weather and all that stuff. Obviously, they can never do that. But this is. That's an interesting situation that could happen there.
Four consecutive games, four consecutive days with 2 days of travel in between. At least it's New York to Cleveland, so, you know, not the worst travel in the world, but still. The other game yesterday, of course, the Padres get off the schneid. They tie up the best of five series with the Dodgers. I in-game this one at plus 160. By the way, lost two bets the first day of the division round, got two back yesterday on both the Braves and the Padres in-game plus 160. So those have washed. And a little bit with that Padres with a plus 160. I bet it at 1-1 yesterday after the Freeman home run tied it up. But the big sort of sequence in this game was the bottom of the seventh when Suarez got out of a bases-loaded two-out jam, got Will Smith to line out, and the Padres hold on for the 5-3. They add one at that point on a Cronenworth homer. They win it 5-3. So the Padres now go back to San Diego with the old home field advantage in that one. And remember, the two bets that I have for the series, there's the division round play so far. So a little ahead there. But the wild card round was tremendous. But the two series plays I have here again are the Guardians and the Padres. So the Padres looking good thus far at this point. Guardians not so much. We'll see when that second game gets played. And the other one today is the Mariners and the Astros. This is the series where I have no bets on whatsoever and don't plan to. I love the Mariners against the Blue Jays. We had the series bet on the Mariners then. We talked about here on the show. Not touching this series. Started to feel bad that I didn't have a Mariners bet during that game one, and then Alvarez hits it, you know, to kingdom come, and then didn't feel so bad that I didn't have a bet anymore.
From you and, you know, other baseball guys we talk to and respect, it sure feels like they're everybody's high on both those teams, right? Like I haven't really heard anybody betting that series, it feels like, between Mariners and Astros.
It's tough to get in front of the Astros.
Yeah. You blew by the Padres Dodgers game, and you didn't mention the goose on the field. Yeah. Come on.
That goose looked a little hurt, didn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what was going on there. Captured my attention for a solid 10 minutes, though.
That's what Kelly took away from that game.
I had like preseason on one TV with volume up, and I look over to the left. I'm like, what's a big duck doing on the baseball field?
Anyway, it's Castillo against Valdez today in that Mariners Astros game. The Astros are the favorites once again. What's the number on that game? Let's see. What is the number there on the Astros? But the Astros prohibitive favorite once again. Valdez, who had that massive streak of quality starts, still not betting that game at all, not touching that series.
Stros anywhere minus 148 to 160, it looks like.
Yeah, a lot of respect for Castillo there. He's plus 140 coming back, plus 139 coming back on the dime line, but not touching myself on that. Do have the Guardians bet, but I don't know if that's going to get played. Then there's football tonight, Kelly. Oh, the counter programming at Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
On the heels of the Colts Broncos 12-9 blockbuster barn burner, whatever you want to call it, last week, the Commanders and the Bears.
Let's ride.
Now, you actually have a wager on this.
I do have a bet. I said, I saw the opening lines come out, and I said, these two teams are terrible. The total's sitting at 40. I'm going to bet it under. And, yeah, that's what I've got going tonight. That's the only bet I'll have going. It feels a lot like last week, Gil, last week we actually thought we could possibly get a good game. We just didn't have a good feel on the game or really care to bet anything on it between you and me. This one, I think we expect it to be a terrible game heading into it. You know, based on my bet, I hope it's a bad game going throughout. You got what, Carson Wentz playing with an injury? That can make things interesting. Jahan Dotson out for this game. I don't know. There's just not much to go around. I think there's a lot of people getting too excited about what Chicago did in the second half of that game against Minnesota. I'm expecting a low-scoring game. I have... If you told me I needed to pick a side here, Gil, I have no idea.
Yeah, this, by the way, raining in Chicago right now, but it won't be tonight, so there won't be any precipitation. Doesn't appear that it will be. Who knows with these things? But
yeah, I saw Kevin Roth tweet about that, too. He said winds, he thinks, around 10 to 15 miles an hour. Not anything that's going to really interfere with a play on
the field. Once you start to creep towards 20, then it gets 20 miles per hour, then it becomes the thing. This is the, first of all, if you landed on this show, let's say 1 week ago, and you're like, wow, this is two Thursdays in a row. This guy doesn't like these bets. No, I don't. I didn't bet the Colts and the Broncos. Might have done a little in-game. Might do a little in-game in this one tonight. Maybe we want to watch him a couple drives. But as far as a pre-flop bet on this, this is the quintessential. If this game were in the middle of a early Sunday window with eight other games, would you bet this game?
Yeah.
You would.
I mean, yeah. Some would. I bet it.
Some would.
Yeah, I bet it.
I would not.
I would bet it if it was in the middle of a Sunday. I bet it on the opening lines. It's not. I mean, I'm not an under, right? Who bets an under on a standalone game to sit by and have fun watching that game?
I want no part of this game in any way. No outcome would surprise me, and so there's nothing here that I want to do pre-flop. But like I said, I'll watch it. Maybe some in-game. Maybe I'll send one out to Aaron Oster, the producer of Wes and Femi show tonight on the network. The live bet show tonight, so which starts at 6 p.m. Pacific, pardon me. 6 p.m. Pacific? No. I don't even remember.
Pacific,
yes, I'm sorry. 9 p.m. Eastern. The other thing that I want to say about this, too, people are like, oh, Ron Rivera might be the next coach fired. I could be wrong here. Maybe he will be, but here's my instinct on this. If the Commodes are able to win a game even here or there, Ron Rivera will keep his job. Why? If for no other reason, because Daniel Snyder has so much else to worry about.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Daniel Snyder is, as I said this the other day, he is entrenched for the biggest fight of his life, and he is a horrible human being who's going to fight this tooth and nail to the end.
Who's what, willing to take down Jerry Jones with him?
Private investigator on Jerry Jones and Roger Goodell. You think he's like real interested in firing his head coach at this point? I don't think that's really priority one. Of course, the Commodes have to win once in a while for that to manifest. We'll come back. John Legace on baseball on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. Now that Matt Rhule has been fired, Kelly, we had that wonderful stat that we kept talking about on this show and on the Beating the Book Megapod. By the way, Las Vegas Chris, the great Las Vegas Chris on the Beating the Book Megapod after the show today.
There you go.
But since Matt Rhule got fired, we had that amazing Matt Rhule stat that when Panthers opponents scored 17 or more points during his tenure, the Panthers were 1-27, including the last 25 being 0-25. And so now, by the way, we don't know if that's going to continue with the Panthers or not, but Rhule is out there. We were searching for what other stat might be out there that's going to wow us. Well, Scott Kazmar, who used to be over there at Football Outsiders, he had this one. The Jaguars, I didn't know this either. The Jaguars have actually lost their last 37 games when allowing more than 20 points. So instead of 17+, it's 21+. The Jaguars, now this, the difference between this and the Panthers is the Panthers was Matt Rhule entirely. This spans several coaches for the
right.
Jaguars.
Yeah.
And it's 21+, 37 in a row. So Parlay asked me, he goes, what do you think is more amazing? I still think it's the Matt Rhule one. Because it's 17. 17, dude.
Okay, I'm going to disagree. I think it's this one because this, to me, this one shows the ineptitude of this entire franchise for several years upon years.
You can look at it that way.
Whereas the Rhule one, I look at as the ineptitude of that coaching staff and everybody involved with that team. And it's why I say Christian McCaffrey's entire career is unfortunately going to be wasted on a team that has nothing else around him.
Don't get me wrong. They're both impressive in the worst kind of way.
Yes.
But 17, dude.
I know.
I know. That's the differentiator for me. You had something else. This one is just bizarro. This is like neither here nor there. But this is one about, of all teams, the Colts. Will Brinson tweeting this out. Ludicrous stat from our awesome CBS Sports HQ research team. The Colts are the first team since the 95 Chargers to not allow a fourth quarter point through 5 weeks. Only teams to ever shut out their opponents in the fourth through 6 weeks. Oh, you remember it well, Kelly. The 1934 Lions and the 1934 Bears.
What a great year in the NFL.
How random is that?
That's really random because, I mean, we think all we've been talking about for the past 5 weeks is how disappointing this Colts team is. And I don't know, you see a stat like that, it's like, well, okay.
We should point out that we did not vet this last stat, but we're just going to take Will's word
for it. Yeah, I'm taking Will's word for it.
Or CBS Sports HQ, we'll take their word for it. John Legesa joins us now, ladies and gentlemen, from the Mayo Media Network. You can follow him on Twitter at John Legesa. That's Lagheza. That's how you spell it phonetically. How you doing, John?
I'm great. I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind about those stats. It really kind of threw me off center with those, man.
Yeah, that Jaguars thing is crazy. But I still say the Panthers won. I mean, reasonable minds can disagree on that. They're both amazing in the worst way. And this Colts one's just rando, totally random. Okay, let's talk about the baseball playoffs for a second. We could have a rainout. It looks like we're going to have a rainout. We'll see. Maybe, maybe not. But if that happens here in New York, we got a potential of four straight days of four games with travel in between twice. And again, New York to Cleveland's not the worst deal. But this game is scheduled to be Shane Bieber against Nestor Cortez, and it's the Yankees at -134, the total 6.5. Did you make a bet on this?
No, I'm leaving this one on the cutting room floor. The pricing is not really there for me. Bieber's been extremely sharp. And as much as I like Cortez, it's less stuff for me and more the wonky timing. And when you're talking about the Guardians, they're a very good contact team. I feel like that's not a great matchup for them. I feel really good to have cleared that run line the other day at plus money. So I think I'm focusing on the other American League game today. I got some nice plus money moves on that one.
All right, what'd you bet there? Astros and Mariners.
All right, right. It's Mariners and Houston. So this one is a team total for Seattle. I really like the first five team total. It's over 1.5, which is a nice low bar. It's also at plus money, which we love. They're going up against Framber Valdez. Yeah, we have this whole, like, quality start machine narrative. A quality start is 3 runs. This is 2 runs. So I just want to keep that in mind. He's given up 2 earned runs or more, 5 of his last 7. He's given up 3 earned runs both times he's faced Seattle this year. You know, the surface stats are in play. I'm not trying to make them sound bad. 2.82 ERA, 1.16 whip, 66% ground ball rate, right? That's how he butters his bread. But I think there's another side to that. 8% walk rate, 90% zone contact, 41% hard hit rate. That's via StatKist. So that's 95 miles an hour, right? So he's not a home run pitcher. We're not talking about him getting damaged. But what we are talking about is a below average walk rate, a very high contact rate, and balls getting in hard. Balls are going to be put into play, and that's how you give up runs. He's throwing the sinker 50% of the time to a 440 expected slug, only 13% whiff rate. So we know the bat's going to be on the ball, right? That's not really being questioned. Mariner team offense, top 7 in the majors against righties, last 1,200 plate appearances, right? So I'm not really cherry picking here. 740 OPS, 190 ISO, 116 WRC+, that's top 3, the last one, ahead of the Dodgers. Last I checked, they're very good. Julio Rodriguez and Cal Raleigh, last 100 plate appearance against righties, minimum 625 slug, 1,000 OPS, and they're both killing that sinker against righties year-to-date, minimum 52 hard hit, 10 barrel, and each have 3 home runs. Raleigh, in particular, is a sinker ball hitter. He's good for all kind of prop betting. So give me the Mariners above 1.5 runs through 5 at plus money. This one's just on the table immediately. There's going to be a lot of contact, and I'm usually avoiding power pitchers in the playoffs, right, to kind of answer that Yankee question from before.
Okay, makes sense. And then last week you came over. We had you on Thursday once again, and you had this great spiel, and I shouldn't say spiel because that makes it sound like I'm denigrating it. It was a great sort of, you know, reasoning for why you loved Nyheim Hines prop bets. And then 3 plays into the game, after he like completely dropped a pass on the first down play, but 3 plays in, he comes up woozy. And I'm being kind when I say woozy. It was like, not fun to look at. And immediately I thought of you, and I'm like, oh, well, there goes all the Hines props for you and everybody else.
Eight catches in that backfield, though.
Yeah, I mean, your reasoning was great. And so you do have reasoning for a prop bet in tonight's Bears Commodes spectacular tonight. What do you got?
The commodes, man, I'd love to talk to you about that because I think the targeting rule that was trying to protect players has actually worked against them. The subsequent effect we've seen now are these suplexes, right? These German suplexes for real that are hurting players. So that's something to think about. We're looking at Curtis Samuel, the only constant thing for the Commodores, the Commandos, are going commando, has been Curtis Samuel. Let's go over 4.5 receptions. I saw it at -125. You really have to shop props because they really are volatile. Okay, 82% of the snaps, he's run over 200 routes, earned 44 targets for 32 catches, 281 and 2. 22% team target rate, 22% target per route run. Those are all really important, so the input usage stats are in place. Maybe more importantly, because the Bears defense is good, he's spending a quarter of the snaps out wide. The rest are in the slot. Now, that's really important because it increases the completion percentage, which, again, we're just looking for catches, so we don't care if he gets five catches for 11 yards. No one cares. Wentz, though not great, has a 71% completion to Samuel because of the high percentage plays they run. They're very good with him. In fact, you'd like to see that creativity spread across the Washington offense. That's another story for another game. Receptions by game for Samuel. So again, we're not really shooting the moon here. 8, 7, 7, 4, and 6. So he has easily cleared in 4 of the 5. Washington also throws the ball a ton. The top 3 in pass attempts, more than 42 a game. So all the kind of usage stats, again, all the inputs are aligned here. And again, Chicago, the defense is good, but it's really on a totals basis. They don't get to the quarterback. They're near the bottom of the board with only 8 sacks. They're also very heavy as far as zone goes. So you don't want to look up the Wentz split man to zone. He's been terrible against the zone. But the completions are there, right? So think about that. Chicago is going to look to keep players like De'Ami Brown, which you saw at the top, pop to top against the Titans. They're going to look to keep that third level secure, right? So McLaurin and Brown are going to have their eyes on it. We know the Bears have struggled against the run game. They're going to be looking at Robinson. So you'll see the front 7 up. I think there'll be a little bit of space in the middle. Again, against that zone, look for Samuel in the slot. And I just think we get it on pure volume. Give me over 4.5 catches. I think we easily get this one.
I like it because, again, and you alluded to it, but Terry McLaurin, who is their number one guy, hasn't really gotten the targets here of late. And then some days there's a Jahan Dotson game. Then other this last game, there was a De'Ami Brown game. So the one consistent pass catcher has been Curtis Samuel. So I like that, especially if there's, if there's weather and he's a shorter passing guy. I like that. Real quick, because we got to run. Your favorite single bet this Sunday is in the NFL?
Oh, it's got to be the 49ers. I think that line is way off. I think they're better than a touchdown favorite. So give me the Niners, and if we're going to bet some plus money, it's also the Jaguars. I don't think they're nearly as bad as they've looked. I think the Jaguars are okay. I think they win it outright. Give me that one, too.
Just don't let the opponent score 21 or more, apparently.
Oh, my God. I just walked into that one. Yeah.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Take care. My favorite time of week, though.
John Legesa, everybody, right here on the show, talking football and baseball with us every week. Always thrilled to have him on. Coming back with Adam Kramer. Our own Adam Kramer, college football. What a weekend in college football. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Basketball season's ready to tip off, and now's the time to grab your VSiN Pro Basketball Betting Guide with season prep on all 30 teams. It is out, been out for a couple days now, and it is beautiful. Our hoops experts, including Jonathan Von Tobel, will be joining us shortly. He provides strategy and advice, as well as predictions for conference winners, win totals, playoff teams, and player awards. We also have 5 betting tips for beginning NBA bettors. Give yourself an edge this NBA season and get the VSiN NBA Betting Guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, still to come, Adam Kramer here on the show as well, including JVT on the NBA and Crack Man as well. Before we get to that, Kelly, have you seen these, and there's more than one of them, but there's a lot of fourth down decision sort of models out there. ESPN has one. There's one that's simply called the fourth down decision bot, which shout out to Chris Iskander. I hope I pronounced that correct. Chris Iskander, who pointed it out to me. Where this fourth down decision bot said that we're talking about the Chargers fourth and a long one at their own 46, up 30-28, just over a minute left against the Browns the other day. And I was sitting there saying, like, this is indefensible. Well, the bot said that Brandon Staley was right for going for it. And I'm fascinated by this because, it said the reason that it says that it was the correct move is because it was an 88. The win probability becomes 88%, according to this bot, if they go for it. 100% if they convert. It says 70. Here's the number that I disagree with. 60% if they fail. So anyway, it comes out to 88% win probability if they go for it. 76% probability win probability if they punt. But that 60 number, that 60% number is the one that I have a problem
that
with.
That feels way high.
So if you don't get those 2 yards, you're still saying, this bot is saying that the Chargers would have had a 60% chance of winning this game. And I just fundamentally disagree with that output. And so much of this, and this is all based on historical data, but it really does come down to, you got Jacoby Brissett on the other side of the field. Your defense has been terrible. Really, you're trying to make the case that you're not better off putting him all the way back down there?
Yeah. I think we were talking about it a bit during the break. I think so much when you look at things like that, win probability stuff that we see all over ESPN and, you know, different broadcasts and stuff like that. I mean, even live betting, right? It doesn't take into account all the factors that are involved in something like that. And the fact that Jacoby Brissett's on the other side of the ball is a major, major factor in that decision.
Here's the bigger one to me. Historical field goal percentages are so much lower than they are currently, especially with guys like Cade York. And I know we missed it. That's where I quibble with these bots. Like, I just don't think that every bit of information of that specific game is in there.
Yeah.
And it's not. And that's where I think the disagreement lies. Let's talk some college football. Adam Kramer joins us now. Bleacher Report and, of course, VSiN. Kegs and Eggs on Twitter. How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing well, sir. How about yourself?
Oh, man, what a weekend in college football we got. I want to ask you about these games, but real quick about last week, just a couple things. One, okay, Bama and Texas A&M, it wasn't Bryce Young, but A&M with, like, the worst play call ever, so let's throw that to the side, right? But they had a chance to win this. Forget about covering. They had a chance to win this. When we're talking about Alabama and Tennessee, I'm assuming we can't say anything until we know for sure it's Bryce Young. And I guess you could say that about a few college football games this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting that we're just methodically, when I say we, not you and I, but collectively as a group, we're just saying, like, yep, this is a game and we like Tennessee. But no, when you have a backup quarterback in who's talented and you turn the ball over 4 times, that's sort of what happens. A&M does seem to not necessarily have Alabama's number, but there's something in that matchup that Jimbo seems to have success in, right? Whether they win or they're close, et cetera. So the easiest question is, not only is Bryce Young going to play, but how healthy he is. Mm-hmm. And this turns the focus to this week. He's on the pitch count. Now, Saban is a tactical man. He knows what he's doing. And so the morsels, the breadcrumbs that he's feeding the media every day, he did a little bit more. He's looking better. I would be pretty shocked if he doesn't play at this point, to be honest. But the question really isn't necessarily that. It's one further. It's, hey, like, he has this shoulder injury. What's it going to look like? It's kind of a big deal, right? Like, it's kind of a big deal to your throwing shoulder. And then if he does play, is a hit going to jar him loose? Is he going to be effective? They already have some questions at wide receiver. What's the offense going to look like, really, is where you'd go from there.
So, all that said, is Adam Kramer putting a little on the money line here on Tennessee? Are you taking a shot with him?
I'm actually kind of going the other way.
Oh, well, wow.
First off, I think right now I'm just standing back from this game. There's a lot going on. It's like a fight at a bar, right? You're like, you're standing at you're having a drink, and there's a fight going on. And maybe you know one of the people, but you're just kind of assessing the situation before deciding if you want to get involved in how. I'm trying to decipher. I don't have a Nick Saban decoder ring, although I've been in the campus a lot, and I've heard him talk, and I've spoken with him. So I'd like to think I can read some of it. Right now I'm struggling to do so. But it does feel like Tennessee is an awfully popular opinion.
It
and
does.
For a team that really struggled against Pitt and a team that was great against LSU, although we don't know what that means because it's hard to watch an LSU offense when Jaden Daniels is just running around like crazy. We're putting a lot of confidence in Tennessee, which might be the right thing to do. I'm just not fully committed to it just yet.
Yeah, it does seem like a lot of folks love the Vols this week.
I saw a tweet from, I think it was Caesars yesterday, saying that the side of Tennessee +7 was the single most bet side of the week. So
what could possibly go wrong there?
But I kind of get it.
I kind of get it. Oh,
they've
I do.
Been fun. The defense is good. But I'm just, when that is happening, we just have to take inventory of what side we want to join the masses. And at this moment, I'd say the answer is not yes.
So my massive pet peeve last week, and I mentioned this with Futak earlier in the week, I won't belabor the point, but it was, you know, Nick Saban deserves some criticism too at the end of that game. They were snapping the ball with 9 seconds left on their final drive, then 6 seconds left. And those 15 seconds might have been the difference between victory and defeat. And they got away with it. TCU also did the same thing when they were coming down for their what turned out to be their winning score against Kansas. And it just drives me crazy with these college football coaches. But on the subject of TCU, was a couple things. One, I mean, do you think the team they beat, Kansas, is actually no worse off with, you know, with the backup quarterback now that Jalen Daniels is out with Bean in? That's the one question on that side. But in terms of TCU and Oklahoma State, I'm feeling a lot of Oklahoma State love from people, and I'm not really there with them. Where do you stand on Oklahoma State and TCU?
Oklahoma State, I think you know, is a team I really liked them last year, and I liked them this year heading into the year, season. I thought they could have actually kind of taken it a step further. They were a couple of feet from the playoffs, literally, and they've been good. And they validated a really easy, you know, start to the schedule, but they still struggled at times with Texas Tech. So on the Kansas side, real quick, yeah, Jason Bean, who transferred over from what North Texas, looked pretty good. When your backup quarterback comes in and throws for 4 touchdowns, that's a good thing, a very good thing, and it's not a normal thing. Now, it's probably a bad thing for TCU, but I thought, Kansas is pretty good, like actually good. Not just yes. A fun story, but pretty good. The environment was insane. That was a pretty tall assignment, which is an odd thing to say out loud. I think TCU is going to win this football game by double digits. I think with Dykes, I think that team is rolling. I think Duggan does not get enough credit at quarterback. Their play calling is really... It's like it would be very annoying to try and call a defense against them. It's a lot of screens, a lot of these little pesky plays that they do really well. This line now to 4. I got in at 3.5. Clearly, people, you know, in terms of the ranked teams, Oklahoma State being ranked higher, it's not impacting, you know, the line all that much. It's a really odd week on that front in a few different games. I like TCU in this spot quite a bit. I think they're going to make a statement here, and I think this is a team that actually has a chance to flirt with the playoff.
Music to my ears. Exactly. You and I have not talked about this. I took Duggan 100-1 to win the Heisman because just about the path, just because of the path you're talking about there. Could, if they keep winning, big if, but there's a path for them to flirt with the playoff. There's a path for him to flirt with New York. So
17-1 touchdowns to interceptions.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really been good, and his coach is going to keep doing this, and he's going to put him in these, you know, again, there's a lot to like, and I don't like it when I get this into a team. It's like, I got to stop myself a little bit,
yeah.
But I don't view the Kansas thing as bad. Like, those are the kind of games you need to struggle with and win, and I think it's put them in a position to succeed here, and obviously they have a pretty interesting stretch upcoming, but the schedule not so bad.
All right, 10 seconds on each of these. So, Kansas, you are taking the points against Oklahoma. Do you want that?
I'm going to stay off that game. Okay. I was going to lay it with Oklahoma, but I'm going to stay away and see how it looks.
Penn State at Michigan. Can't gloss over that. 2 undefeateds. What do we really know about Michigan here? They're 7-point favorites. Which way are you going here?
I'm going to go under. I got in at 52.5. It's down to, 51? Great running backs. Lake Corum's going to carry the ball like 60 times in this game, and Penn State's got good freshmen, so I'm going to go under on this one and stay away from the side.
All right, and then USC at Utah out west is a pretty interesting one.
I've wanted to bet Utah in this game for 6 months. I have. Utah, just a different beast at home. USC offense has been okay. Defense actually been better. Utah, at home, they're going to get this done. I think we've been kind of waiting for this type of game with USC.
Yeah. And if UFC gets it, if USC gets it done, then there's that USC UCLA showdown waiting on the horizon as well. Adam, great weekend. Yes. Enjoy Saturday. It's going to be great.
Appreciate it, man. Talk to you soon.
Adam Kramer, everybody, right here on the Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. JVT on the NBA next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Attention, BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message, inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement at BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable site credit. Site credit expires in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin's here as well. Kelly, I would read through tweets, but there's just too many NBA bets from JVT to go on tweets. Oh, we can read tweets? Well, let's read some tweets.
Yeah, read some tweets.
You're like, no, not yet, actually.
You got a minute.
No, why don't you read some tweets, Gil? On second thought. All right, we get tweets. Sure, I'll do that. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Call Me Al. He says, weather in Chicago, rain gone, but a lot colder today. He says it will be windy tonight, but we see 10 to 15 mile per hour winds. So we're, you know,
yep.
With apologies, Call Me Al. I don't know about your meteorological background.
I don't know about ours either. I'm just reading the website. Either.
We're just reading. Let's see here. This is from James underscore AG1. He was talking about, listening to your segment with Pritch yesterday. And he said players want to be put in positions to succeed. Well, James is not. He's not happy with that. He says, when are we going to put a smidgen of responsibility on the players to execute? Like, Herbert, can you get a single yard? Can Carr convert that two-point conversion? D-Gen Southern Gent. He said, I think Mother Nature has the Braves' futures as well. Our Braves suck during home games, but have the best record in the league at night. Also agree with you about Ron Rivera. He's an easy-to-employ placeholder until Dan Snyder's ship sinks completely. Oh, from your lips to God, as my mother used to say. Let's see here. This is from C. Alexander Black. Would you like to have a name like that, Kelly? C. Alexander Black.
Yeah, it's like if I changed mine. K. Michael Bidlin.
K. Michael Bidlin. Just gives you gravitas.
It does. It's like an author.
Yeah. He says, Gil, you had to bring up the Nyheim Hines props. That hurt. Maybe not as much as poor Nyheim's head that night, clearly, but still stings. Yeah, that sucks. Third play of the game. And this is from New York Mets 16. New York Mets 16, Scott. He says, I guess that bot that you were talking about, the fourth and one bot, doesn't, or the fourth down bot, doesn't, quote-unquote, know your opponent. Certain quarterbacks and teams, you must pin deep, and if they beat you, they beat you. Can you sleep at night with the loss? Then it's the right play. Hit it, he said.
Not complete. I think that's dead on, right? That's what we said. That is dead on.
By the way, Joe Pita asking me the origin of the hit it for the Survivor stuff. He was wondering if it was from the Bernie Mac comedy shows where he would say hit it, and then he would say stuff. I ain't scared of you, Mo. No, it's from Aini Kamozi, for those of you wondering where the hit it comes from. Here comes the hot stepper. Here comes the hot stepper, Jonathan Von Tobel. How you doing, JVT, our NBA senior analyst to talk NBA with us, of course. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Season's here pretty much, so I am excited, ready to get this grind on, you know?
Yes, the long NBA offseason has finally come to an end, as we like to joke here. All right, let's start, because you have a ton of these. First of all, people love the young Grizzlies, and you say just in terms of betting, not so fast, my friend. What do you got with the Grizzlies?
Yeah, so my strategy with shopping these futures and betting these win totals, Gil, one of them is going to be look for off-market numbers and, you know, play them accordingly. And 51 was an off-market number. Consensus win total for Memphis is 48.5. And I don't think a 51, which is what Sorka opened them at, and last look, they're still at 50.5, just doesn't account for the losses that the Grizzlies have suffered in the offseason. Remember, Kyle Anderson's no longer there. He is with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Anthony Melton is with the Philadelphia 76ers. You have Jaren Jackson Jr., one of their better defenders, who received 11 first-place votes, by the way, for Defensive Player of the Year. He had to undergo foot surgery in the offseason. He could be out of 6 months, which would put him at the tail end of December, beginning of January, slow rollout. So I just don't know if the number of 51 really accounted for all of the losses that this team experienced in the offseason. And it doesn't really account for the fact that the Western Conference is just better, man. Like, the Clippers are better. The Nuggets are better. You know, the Warriors, you could argue, with a starting lineup that wasn't available to them in the regular season last year is going to be better. So I think a high like that of 51, that's worth playing under, especially when the rest of the market was at 48.5.
All right, and then the seemingly annual tradition of a Jonathan Von Tobel bullish Minnesota Timberwolves bet. You love him here, over.
Yes, I am. Yes, that is it. It's become a yearly tradition. But last year was right? You know, over on the win total.
Sure was.
Played them to get to the postseason, and it got there. And this is, again, one of those where, you know, Tim Bontemps over at ESPN put it really well, Gil. This is going to be a better version of the Utah Jazz. Like, they're going to win a lot of regular season games. If you look at what they gave up, get Rudy Gobert. We're talking about Patrick Beverley and Malik Beasley and a whole bunch of draft picks. So you're essentially, from last year's team, only giving up two guys to get Rudy Gobert to add to that squad. And on top of that, you're adding pieces. I mentioned Kyle Anderson. He's an awesome defender and wing player. He gets added to this mix. This team overall is just as deep, and you still have guys like Austin Rivers who come over, who's a solid backup guard to add to the mix there too. I really like what this Minnesota Timberwolves team has put together. Now, from a championship standpoint, if you'll notice, there's no Timberwolves futures to win an NBA Finals because I still think that there's quite a few flaws, much like the Utah Jazz, that will get exploited in the postseason. But when you're talking about the regular season and going over 48.5 wins for a team that I made their win total just over 51, I think that that is worth playing over for a squad that has 50-plus wins written all over it and a top-three seed in the Western Conference. They're going to try hard. They're deep enough to overcome an 82-game schedule, and I think they're going to win a lot of games this year.
Yeah, and let me go out of order on this list of bets that we have from you, and let's go down to the Carl Anthony Towns. Speaking of the Timberwolves, you did make an MVP bet on Cat here.
Yeah, and so it's obviously correlated with the win total, but again, it goes back to the first strategy, which is also playing numbers that are off-market. That, too, was at Circa. The consensus for him is more like 45-1 to win an MVP. And at 75-1, if I correlate that with the fact that I think this is going to be a top-three seed in the Western Conference, if they're going to be a top-three seed in the Western Conference like I expect them to, Carl Anthony Towns is going to play a really big role there. He fits really well offensively next to Rudy Gobert, and he's going to be more impactful as a defender because now he's going to be in that Robert Williams role, which is just put him on the worst offensive guy and just let him crash in every time somebody gets to within 4 feet and help defend, and it's really going to help him out on that end of the floor too. So I just think really from a number standpoint, that's what it was worth. Also, they had a 75-1 on LaMelo Ball, right? And I made the joke the other day, if you're going to tell me that LaMelo Ball and Carl Anthony Towns have the exact same chance of winning an MVP, I would argue very much that Carl Anthony Towns is a better shot at doing so. That's the play at 75-1.
All right, you have a few more win totals here. Heat under 49.5, Mavericks under 49, and the Pistons over 26.5. And that triggers something in my head, which I'll just ask you about, just sort of a macro thing, which is, you know, what do you hear most from NBA bettors? Well, oh, it's going to be, and I agree with this, it's going to be a tank fest this year for Victor Wembanyama. Your season win totals bets didn't necessarily gravitate towards that.
No, so I think when it comes to the tank fest, at least, and this is something that is very much worth monitoring. You know, we have those bad teams you're talking about. We can throw the Pistons in there too. But I think it more involves some of these teams on the fringes, Gil, whose seasons might go sideways and actually have a better motivation to tank. So I bring up LaMelo Ball, for example, right? Well, LaMelo Ball's injured. He's going to be sidelined to start the year. And the Hornets are a team whose win total is about 37, who I don't think really have a spot within the top 10 of the Eastern Conference, potentially. And so now you look at a team like Charlotte, who I think a lot of people expect them to push for a play-in spot at the very least. Well, if we get to, like, January, and things are going pretty poorly for the Hornets, and it seems that they're well out of the picture, what's stopping Charlotte from all of a sudden going, you know what, we should probably start to get down further down this board and start to build for the future and get a piece like Victor Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson or any of these other pieces that are going to be available, because this is a very deep draft, to pair next to LaMelo Ball. I think that's where you're looking at with some of these markets, because those things are factored into super low win totals for the Spurs, for the Jazz, for the Pacers, but not so much for teams like the Hornets, whose season could go really south. But for the Pistons, they're a team that, if you read all the things between the lines, they have put out there that they want to win games. Their moves actually echo that, right? Getting Bojan Bogdanovic to place into their starting lineup, getting Alec Burks in the offseason, adding veteran guys to this young core. This is a team that wants to win games. I think it's really clear that they want to win some games. And they're a team that I've marked as really as a upward-moving team, especially with the way they ended the year last year, 10 and 14 the last 24 games, but they covered 18 of those. At one point, they covered 14 out of 15. They really fought at the end of the year. They want to get a lot better, and I think they have shown every indication that they want to do so.
All right. Also, Jonathan Von Tobel's bets here, JBT's Hawks to win the Southeast, plus 175. Herb Jones of the Pels, Defensive Player of the Year, 66-1. And then talk to us. We got about 30 seconds left here, JVT. Talk to us about Easton, Terry Easton, for Rookie of the Year at 80-1 with the Rockets. Is that just a numbers player? Like, you legit think this could happen?
I was told, hey, look, so Easton was awesome in the Summer League, and I was thrown out there like, hey, he's 80-1 to Rookie of the Year. Check this out. He's been awesome in the preseason, Gil. Double-double, looks fantastic. He's going to have a really big role for Houston, and he looks comfortable in both settings, Summer League and preseason. He's going to be a really impactful guy, and I think he's going to be one of those dudes that move up the board. Like, we're talking about from 80-1 to, like, 20 or 30-1. I think it's worth a numbers grab at this point because he looks like he's going to be an impactful dude for the Houston Rockets this season. And a lot of people are going to be watching because they do have a Rookie of the Year candidate in Jabari Smith Jr.
All right, JBT, of course, prominently featured in our VSiN NBA betting guide. VSiN Pro subscribers, you can grab it today at VSiN.com/subscribe. You see all the different things on there, player awards, five betting tips for beginning NBA bettors. Great job on it, John. Great job, man. Congratulations once again.
Thanks for having me, man. Thank you.
Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. We look forward to having him quite often. Weekly, in fact, perhaps, right here on A Numbers Game. Talk NBA. Kelly loves that. Kelly's got season win totals, alternate season win totals tomorrow.
Yeah, buddy.
Looking forward to that. Bill Krakenberger, ladies and gentlemen. Unscripted next Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.